Paul Dunbar has written this poem entitled, "We Wear the Mask." We wear the mask that grins and lies. It hides our cheeks and shades our eyes. This debt we pay to human guile, with torn and bleeding hearts we smile. Why should the world be overwise in counting all of our tears and sighs? Nay, let them see us only when we wear the mask. We smile. But, O great Christ, our cries to Thee from tortured souls arise. We sing, but, O, the clay is vile beneath our feet and long the mile. But let the world dream otherwise. We wear the mask. We do wear the mask. We all at times wear the mask, and it seems at times it may be the only way to survive. We wear a mask as we deal with enemies and friends. We wear a mask as we deal with family conflict. We wear the mask even when we approach God. But perhaps more so, we wear the mask when we look into the mirror and we face our own self and we like not what we see, or we know too much beyond the face into the heart, and we put on the mask. We hide. We take consolation behind the mask. There's security behind the mask. The season of Lent might be a good time to remove our mask. A good time to get real. To get real with ourselves. To get real with God. To get real with others. But we begin with ourselves. And I'm convinced that Christ Jesus helps us. Jesus was so real. We often think of Jesus and His divinity, but never forget, Christ was totally man, totally human like us. Jesus, so real. And in His realness, He wanted us to be real as well. If you have your Bibles, I'm in the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 14. Hear the word of the Lord. Now the Passover and the festival of unleavened bread were only 2 days away, and the chief priest and the teachers of the law were scheming to arrest Jesus secretly and kill Him. But not during the festival, they said, or the people may riot. While He was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on Jesus' head. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, "Why waste this perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor." And they rebuked her harshly. "Leave her alone," said Jesus. "Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, and you can help them anytime you want, but you will not always have me. She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. Truly I tell you, whenever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of me." Verse 3, at the home of Simon the leper. The leper, a total outcast. No one ever wanted to go to the home of a leper. You would never invite a leper to a party, much less to a meal, to go to their home to recline at their table. Lepers were disgusting. Lepers pronounced themselves unclean, unclean, as they made their way around the city streets. just hearing the word leper and knowing a leper was nearby created fear in everyone's heart. You know that lepers lived outside of town. They didn't live in town. They lived outside, on the outskirts, in their own leper colonies. If you were a leper, you wore a mask. Maybe no one will see me if I hide in my mask. Maybe I won't see myself if I can just hide behind my mask. I'm not real, a leper would think. I'm not real if I hide behind the mask. Notice the leper wasn't, it wasn't Simon the carpenter who had leprosy. It wasn't Simon, attorney at law, stricken with leprosy. It was simply Simon the leper. Mary the prostitute, John the ex-convict, Bill the alcoholic. We know how that works. But Jesus, on his way to Jerusalem, goes to Bethany. And I have to believe, though the scripture doesn't tell us, I have to believe that he didn't just go to Bethany. I think he went beyond Bethany, to the outskirts of Bethany. As the crowds followed him, he made his way intentionally to the leper colony. Maybe a lot of misfits hung out at Simon's home. And Jesus enters and he reclines at the table. What he's doing is eating supper with Simon the leper. Jesus, so completely real in himself. Jesus, so sure of who he was that he could sit in the home of Simon and not be threatened. No mask. No mask on Jesus. Isn't that when we often wear our mask, when we're threatened by others? When we're in a situation where we're unsure, we're uncomfortable, when we find ourselves in a situation that we can't control, we put on our mask. What threatens you? Some would say poor. People who are poor threaten me because I realize I could be there, but for the grace go I. Only one paycheck maybe away, and that can be me. And it threatens us. We put on the mask. Others would say teenagers threaten us, or young adults. The music they listen to, the way they dress, the things they do, the way they communicate. What they pierce and what they tat, I don't understand. Teenagers, they are confusing to us, and for many, they're threatening, and we put on the mask. Or teenagers would say, the senior adults threaten me. Senior adults seem a bit clueless. They don't even know how to work the remote control, and they talk about their doctor. Is that all they do is go to the doctor, and they count out their pills, and they tell you about their pills over and over again? Buford likes that, but most folks don't. And it reminds us that we're all mortal, and that threatens us. Maybe it's not teens or senior adults. Maybe it's immigrants along our southern border. We don't even know how to talk about it, lest we say something wrong, and it creates chaos and confusion. Maybe it's Mormons. Maybe it's Muslims. We're threatened. We're threatened by those who aren't like us, and we put on our mask. Or maybe it's Baptist fundamentalists. They threaten me. Is it Republicans that threaten you, or Democrats, or what about independents? We really don't know what they're going to do, and we're threatened. Or maybe it's the lesbian, or the gay, or the transgendered. We put on the mask. Because we're so unsure, we're so afraid. Or maybe it's yourself. You know yourself. You know your sin. And you're so afraid of it. You put on the mask and hide behind the mask, and no one will see and no one will know, and maybe you won't know. And Jesus says, be real. be real in yourselves. And the only way we do that is we look at Jesus. If Jesus could come to Simon the leper, and he did, then Jesus will come to you. Jesus comes accepting you where you are. But when Christ accepts us, he never leaves us where we are. He always transforms us and moves us to where we really long to be. He accepts us and he transforms us and he takes our fears and our anxieties and our insecurity. Jesus says, be real. But it all begins when we grasp Jesus himself. But really, the verse about Simon is not even a full verse. The story continues. For in the midst of Simon's house on the outskirts of Bethany, with all of these misfits, is a woman who opens a jar of perfume and pours the perfume, anointing the head of Jesus. That's a little odd. It's a little out of the norm. And it's very uncomfortable, but Jesus seemingly just sits there. Jesus, with no mask, not trying to hide anything, allows her to anoint his head. Now, others in the room, you can read the passage. There's shock. There's anger. They're all threatened as they reach for their mask. What do you do in a very uncomfortable situation? And Mark's gospel says, and they rebuke her harshly. And now in our text, Jesus' first words, leave her alone. Why are you bothering her? Oh, there's a lot happening in this text. You know, this story reminds me so much of Luke's account. Luke chapter 7, 2 years ago during Lent, I preached about tears. Remember that woman as Jesus was in the home of another Simon, maybe the same one. A woman came in and also took perfume and anointed Jesus' feet and washed his feet with her hair and tears. Many scholars believe that Mark's account and Luke's account was the same account, just told from different perspectives as they remembered it. If so, this woman was a woman of less than sterling character. This woman was a sinful woman, indeed a woman of the world. She was one of those misfits, and yet so real, so honest, no mask, as she pours the perfume and anoints Jesus. Can I suggest that this woman got her courage? That this woman became real and removed her mask because she had been in the presence of Jesus. I don't think this was her first occasion to show up with Jesus. I don't believe that she showed up at Simon the leper's house for the first time and met Jesus. I think she had been with Jesus a long time. I can see this woman listening to the teachings of Jesus as he taught about love and grace and acceptance. I believe she was there when Jesus did his miracles and fed the hungry people and he healed those who were sick. I believe she was there. Could it be that she may have heard those words, "Where are those who condemn you?" as she saw Jesus right on the dirt? Could it be she was the one who heard those words, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." This woman had been in the presence of Jesus. And like Simon, unclean, but changed by Jesus. The presence of Jesus Christ changes us. The presence of Jesus Christ can change you and makes you and me. So we can remove our mask. Jesus saves us from ourselves. Jesus saves us from our own self-condemnation. He'll save us from our fears, from our anxieties, from our sin. And Jesus will say, take off the mask. Get real. For Jesus knows our heart. He knows our heart. Lent. I love looking at the cross during Lent. The season of Lent, a time to remove our mask. A journey that we make as we get real with ourselves through Jesus. Maybe that's why Ash Wednesday was so meaningful to me, as I sat here and I saw you as you received ashes in the shape of the cross. You couldn't wear a mask that night as the one in front of you touched you. Skin, flesh to flesh. There were no masks on Ash Wednesday. All of our masks were removed as we were real with our sin before God. Oh, how great is our Father's love, that He will go to any length to find us and receive us. If He would go to the house of Simon the leper and expose Himself to danger, for He is real, and He wants to make you real. He will rebuke your enemies and correct your critics, for He is real, Jesus, and He wants to make you real. And He will go to the cross of Calvary, and there He died for you, because He's real. He wants to make us real. Do you believe? Do you believe that you can take off your mask? Do you believe that you can shed that fear and that insecurity? Do you believe what God says about you? Do you believe what He said about you? I want you to listen to this song. It's entitled, "You Say," by Lauren Daigle. Watch the video.
I keep fighting voices in my mind that say I'm not enough. Every single lie that tells me I will never measure up. Just the sum of every high and every low. Remind me once again just who I am, because I need to know. Taking all I have, and now I'm laying it. You'll have every failure, God. You'll have every victory.
Oh God, we are grateful that we can take off our mask because of Jesus Christ. After spending time in the presence of Christ, we don't need a mask. Our fears, our anxieties, who we are and what we've done and where we've been, well, we believe that your grace can cover it all. So, Father, we surrender. We surrender our all. We surrender our mask. Oh, God, let us be real. You want us to. Be as real as Simon, who let Jesus into his house. As real as the woman who broke the bottle of perfume and anointed Jesus' head. Let us be real. Take our fears. Take all of our angst. All of those things that threaten us, let us give them to you. Remove our mask and stand before you. We believe what you say of us. Help our unbelief is my prayer in Christ's name. Amen.